Welcome to the Ether. Today is Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. Today on the Ether, DeFi 101, Episode 11, Earning Yield via NFTs, with JGNFT from Backbone Labs. Let's take a listen.
Joe, I'm here for you.
Amanda.
Amanda's always here.
JG, what's up?
What's good?
It's been so long since I've talked to you.
I know, we're all just building in a bear.
Yes. How's it going?
Head down. I don't even look at price anymore.
Oh, shit. Me either. I don't even have any bags.
Yeah, right. I mean, whatever. Everything's actually really, really good. And I guess that's what we're going to dive into. Can't lie. I'm really excited. You know, you guys still have those angels to auction. I don't know if you guys auctioned them, right? But I would still wait. It's not the right time to even like hold auctions for these assets. You know what I mean? That's what I would do. I mean, we might have some more stuff for you also to auction shortly, because now we have a market, right?
Exciting. Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about when's the best
time. For sure. Cool. Joe, what's up with this IBC nothing burger that we were listening to?
I mean, there's not much going on. I could see why people are sensitive about that, but I got a little cranky at the end, but it was, you know, it's just, they think they're pulling a fast one while everything's on chain in general in this space, and everything can go back to whatever the wallet was that you loaded from the centralized exchange. I don't know, man. I don't think anyone's going to care about this by the weekend. And I said that in the Juno Telegram, and they were like, "Oh my God, this is going to go on forever." I was like, "No, it's really not," because I bet you every single person with a fat wallet did something like that. You know, while the prices were skyrocketing. So I'm not offended when people sell. I almost expect them to. Otherwise, you know, there'd be no trading volume. Someone has to sell.
I'm not gonna lie. If I ever get a hold of some tokens and we're in some eighth moments, I'm
one day I'll sell. You know what I
mean? Same with those pesky NFTs. I just keep buying them. I don't sell.
Yeah, I know this is off topic, but I inscribed a bunch of ordinals like a month and a half ago for like 25-30 bucks, and I'm like, okay, I'll sell these if they go up 10x. I'll sell one; it'll cover all the others. Today I checked and they're like 10x, and I'm like, I'm not selling these things. They're so valuable. I'm keeping them forever. So I'm such a dummy. But it's,
hey, they're going,
it's
the kids' portfolio.
Yeah, they're not mine. They're my kids anyway. Yeah. When she gets big, she can sell them if she wants when they're worth a dollar. But I'm excited to talk to you today about earning yield via NFTs. Amanda has volunteered to co-host for the duration of the space, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh no.
Oh no.
Hey, I'm gonna
welcome.
I'm here for you, Joe.
You know that? One of the best interviews I ever did at Best Spaces was with Amanda. I swear. I was like, damn, that went so
Amanda, she should be doing spaces twice a day. I think that her communication style is much needed in this space of a bunch of socially awkward dudes who are multitasking and not doing a good job of it.
That was a fun space, JG. I think it was a good space as well.
Well, we'll see if it's going to be as good as DeFi 101. I think it's going to be a good one because this is the first time that the guest actually set the topic for the space. Usually I set the topic for the lesson or whatever you want to call it. I set the topic. I have questions lined up. He set the topic this time because there was a lot of ways we could have gone with this. We had a good call the other day. This is number 11. Like I said, I'm going to do my goal is to do 40 of these in 2023. And then those 40 spaces will be like a whole DeFi course for Cosmos. It's going to be wonderful. And I'll be like a teacher. But right now I'll be like the student, because I'm going to learn from our guest teacher here, who's JG from Backbone Labs. Try to learn as much as I can. I'm going to take notes. At the end, there's definitely going to be time for questions. I may have some community questions that we can get to if we don't have volunteers. A lot of people are still rugging, which is annoying. But I do have some community questions, so we'll defer to those, which will be cool. But yeah, we're going to talk about NFTs that generate yield as they are integrated with DeFi protocols. And I don't know if you want to give a quick like 30-second rundown of Backbone Labs. I think that would help for people that are not familiar.
All right. So Backbone Labs is a DeFi NFT like fusion hub of the Cosmos, essentially. And we are dedicated to supporting L1s, maintain their on-chain activity and their value metrics. And then also we believe that NFT communities have like a stickier user retention than regular tokened communities with never-ending APY, right? Like people.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's true. And I think, and I'll get this out of the way in the beginning, I think the low liquidity for NFTs and the ultra small, you know, holder base can be an asset, unlike, you know, with fungible tokens. Because, you know, non-fungible tokens, I don't know if you want to correct me, but I just think of them as tokens that are visual, right? It's like they're just like fungible tokens, but they're non-fungible and they happen to have pictures. Other than that, they're really a lot more versatile. They're a lot more versatile. There are advantages. The low liquidity can be advantageous. The metadata can be used and repurposed and used again for lots of different things. I don't know, what's a good working definition for non-fungible tokens, just to make sure we're on the topic and not automatically thinking about the typical DeFi tokens, which are usually farming tokens, right, or governance tokens.
Right. Well, I mean, a non-fungible token is a completely unique token in a collection, right? It gets tricky, right? I mean, it's not tricky. I mean, because you have like people are starting to inscribe it like in these specific Satoshis. Like that's how they're having NFTs over there. So like I'm not even really sure about that now, like how that technology works. But over in, you know, the Cosmos, these are, you know, tokens that are completely unique. You can tell the difference one from the other without having to look at the picture. You know, you would have a very hard time telling one Atom token from another Atom token if I like showed them to you. You know what I mean? It'd be almost impossible. So, you know, I think in these NFT communities, I mean, it's kind of interesting because also one of the things that have occurred, because, you know, like they're small, there's not the highest liquidity all the time. And they keep, you know, you get to be anonymous, but get known, right? Because like based on the NFTs that you hold, these communities aren't so big that people don't get to know who you are if you're participating. And like, I kind of feel like it makes people feel more accountable, more responsible to the actual activities that are going on. You know, it doesn't always, it's not a foolproof thing, but it's like definitely just tighter communities. And that's really what you want if you want people, like I'm looking to be able to do revenue sharing with communities, because to me, that seems like the most attractive model. If we all go in together, then we don't have to rely on VCs and we can all try to, you know, and earn together, right? On the same.
Yeah. And one of the other features of NFTs in order to accomplish revenue sharing is that they map back to specific wallets. You can do it by collection or you could do it by individual trait, right? Like let's say I made a collection, NFT collection, and you know, a deck of cards is a good example for an NFT collection because some of them do look kind of alike, but they're all really different because of the suits, the colors, the picture on the front and the number, right? I could say, okay, everyone who has a king has this privilege in my community. Everyone who's holding an NFT with a 10 on it has a different privilege, right? So like you said, you could have a community involvement without being necessarily doxed. You'll be known for the tokens that are in your wallet within a collection or even like across collections. So there are lots of advantages. And I personally would like to see NFTs start to replace fungible tokens in a lot of the DeFi protocols. I think they'll do a better job I think they have less drawbacks, more advantages for the most part. There's no reason why you can't mint a collection of 100,000 NFTs. Just no one's really done it before. So you can expand your community that way. And you could also update metadata over time, depending on the chain you're on and the different capabilities that you have over there. You could adjust the metadata, right? Let's say someone's really, really involved in the Discord. You might be able to keep a tally of how many times they do something good for the project, and you could update the metadata of their NFTs, right? You don't need to fill out a support ticket. You don't have to, you know their name, know their face. So NFTs can be used for a lot. And JG is going to talk about Backbone Labs, apps and NFTs that provide the opportunity for generating actual yield, which will be pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. So basically what
we... Why don't you do this? Start with apps first, so people get familiar with Backbone Labs, and then we'll get into how NFTs will fit into those apps. Is that all right?
Yeah. So you want me to talk about the products that are currently available?
Yeah. You could just list them off, and then we'll go one at a time as they relate to our topic.
All right. So the flagship product would be the Gravedigger, and that's our auto compounder. Our LSD is Bone Luna. Token symbol B Luna. We thought it would be fun to resurrect B Luna. That is what the engine is of our revenue sharing model is the Gravedigger, right? And so should we go into what is an LSD? I mean, I'm pretty sure I look down here and most of these people probably know what a liquid staking derivative is. I don't want to just be redundant, right? So this thing's auto compounding. And we take a 10% performance fee, but we redistribute 100% of the 10%, right? And this is like a little bit of that wag me vibe, right? So it's like if we all come together and like we sacrifice a little bit and then we redirect 70% to the LP positions, the people providing liquidity need to be rewarded. That is the weak position in a liquid staking derivative model. If you can't get in and out of it, it's not liquid, right? So 70% goes there, and then we use 30% and we partner with an NFT community for management. And so this is the model of Backbone Labs. And from that whole model, we've now also launched a marketplace called the Necropolis, which is live on Luna right now. And we're building a whole new front end for our Migaloo launch, which will happen, next month. We have the Necromancer, which is our launch pad and candy machine. We're assembling that right now. And, we're preparing for the Lion DAO Mint. You know, these are all things that we can talk upon, expound. But those are the products that are under the Backbone Labs hood. And, we're partnered tight with Migaloo. Like Sebastian and SenCon, it was a real blessing to be able to hook up with them. And we're putting these things everywhere. So there's going to be a lot of grave diggers on a lot of L1s, and there's going to be a lot of revenue sharing communities that will be earning from that. And then there's some secret sauce I told Joe about that we're trying to plan something a little extra with a certain token, I think it's too early to talk about that, but we can talk about the products and the revenue
sharing. That's right. We forgot something.
What?
The reason why we're saying yield and not APR, right? So, and you mentioned that the protocol actually generates yield. It's not simply APR. So APR doesn't necessarily mean you're gaining value overall, right? It might just mean you're gaining more tokens.
Right.
So go into that a little bit.
It's kind of the same, but what we're doing is that we perform a function that actually generates revenue, right? We haven't made a token that we just pump into the system. On the auto compounding feature, we'll use Luna for example. If there is 1 million Luna in the Gravedigger, the emissions, the rewards that we claim once a day, 10% from the rewards are allocated to the system. This system is the 70-30 system. So 30% of that 10% is then distributed to the NFT stakers and the skeleton punks, right? So are the Apex model on Luna, right? And this is the system. If we see, numbers alone, the skeleton punks had a pretty crazy ride on Terra, And then if we look at right now, we're like 100,000 ahead, 100,000 in Luna volume ahead of everybody else, maybe more at this point.
Can you just repeat again? Where does that 10% actually come from? Sure. Because it's not inflation, right?
Yeah, it's not. Okay, so what it's doing is the APY from Luna is the inflation that we're auto compounding, right? And so, you know, they have auto compounders that like, what is it, like Restake? They can just auto compound for you, but we give you the B token, which allows you to participate in other DeFi activities, right? And so this is what, you know, was kind of like a beautiful thing about before the crash is we had this great asset that we could borrow against and we could take, you know, advantage of economic opportunities without selling the asset. And so I'm kind of on this mission that if we get these gravediggers on all these different Cosmos chains that, you know, I'll have, you know, we already have, you can borrow against your Luna and your Whale. You can get B Luna and B Whale and go to Cavern and you can borrow against it just like you used to be able to on Anchor already. But I'm trying to make it that every single B asset that we make in the Cosmos that we have somewhere that you can borrow against it and you're not forced to sell if you have assets. You can just, you know, take out your little loan, make your economic play, pay your loan back in like a week or two and carry on.
So there's a 10% yield and about a third of it goes to the Skeleton Punks holders. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What?
Yep.
When you minted that collection, the Skeleton Punks, was the proceeds from that mint?
So here's
to build.
This is where, okay, so the Skeleton Punks are unique, right? Because I'm a Skeleton Punks minter. Like, so we're a Terra One project. I'm not the founder, I'm not the creator. It was abandoned and left for dead. And like six of us stuck around. And I was on the team before the crash, and Boolin, who was the remaining founder, he was like, I gotta quit. And I just got a grant for NFT Switch. And I told him, I'm like, well, I got plans to, because I had plans to have the Skeleton Punks have a utility with NFT Switch in this P2P platform, because I give them 50% off of P2P trading, right? If you have a Skeleton Punk, you get a discount. So that was my original, motivation for getting the socials, the wallet, the Discord, all this stuff. He turned it over to me. He was like, all right, go for it. And so now we find ourselves where we're at today. And so from that, the four of us who are the core Skeleton Punk team members, you know, since we didn't create that project, we've always been thinking of like, how do we make our own identity separate from, the NFT project? Because it's not ours. Like we just wanted to resurrect, you know, our community. We wanted to, you know, we love Luna. And so we've created a real utility with this auto compounder that we could manage as a community. And then we were like, damn, this is a good idea. Maybe we should try to repeat this. And then the next thing we know, like we're, you know, working with PFC and all these doors just started opening. And I'm like, this is a model that I think is going to be quite successful. You know?
And they're on Luna Classic. I mean, sorry, Terra Classic, right? The original chain. How does that work?
They were originally minted on Terra Classic. Now, so what we did is we migrated the entire collection to Terra 2 for, you know, for free. All they had to do was come claim. We migrated, I think, close to 2/3 of the collection. And
oh, wow.
The remaining, 1,500, we minted in three batches of 500, right? Because our market was so small, we reminted them. And so what that did for the last year, you know, in the entire time, that allowed us to build some of these things, get certain things audited, have certain contracts written, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so some of the mint proceeds came from that because others were just migrated over for free. It's the same collection. You were able to sell some NFTs and others were free, but it was enough to get going, build, and then the holders have some claim to the profits. Is that about right?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. So you basically repurposed the collection that was abandoned.
Yes. So basically when the collection was first minted, the roadmap was that you would have staking and revenue sharing, and they were going to use the mint money and just park it in Anchor with the 20%. Now they minted in the 8th of Luna. Luna was like $100 when they minted on like February 25th, you know, 2022 or whatever the date was on that, you know? And so they made like $550,000, and then the founder rugged the project for like $350,000, and that's what started our whole dilemma. And then the crash happened.
All right. Yeah. No. Well, that disrupted a lot of projects. Not only NFT projects. Some protocols had treasuries. Right. Some people were listing NFTs and basically got liquidated as Luna collapsed.
Yeah. I mean, look, just me speaking personally, I lost like over $85,000 in UST. Probably.
In a
UST. I'm not holding out.
If it makes you feel better, the chart for UST is almost exactly the same as the chart for Juno and a lot of people who are speaking Juno. It's just it was a time release DPEG from the top. But let's go through other opportunities to insert NFTs in place of fungible tokens, or maybe along with fungible tokens, where there's a situation where there's some yield. Because what I see on Stargaze is some projects, they're minting a collection. And then they're taking that, they're putting in a treasury, and then they're like, oh, we're going to stake it and then pay the rewards back to the holders. I mean, it's okay as, you know, a decent effort to at least add utility to the NFTs, but there's no reason to believe that would do better than me just staking my tokens in the first place and not having to worry about the NFT.
Right. But, you know, you got to remember that there's also the secondary market of the NFT market. So if you think that getting some yield and having exposure to, you know, trading NFTs is your thing, then maybe that's for you. Right. Like, I understand. Yeah, yeah. Like, totally. Maybe you stake your own tokens and you earn more tokens, but maybe you also had bought, you know, five of these revenue sharing NFTs. And yeah, maybe you earned half as much as you would staking, but you sold the NFTs for 10 times as much as you bought them for.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you'll take that every time, right?
Every time, right? Yeah.
You'll take 5x every time if you were getting paid to hold it, even you know, dust transactions for a while. So within DeFi protocols, there's opportunity, though, because of some of the advantages to NFTs that we talked about. I think LP tokens, for the most part, could be NFTs, or a collection of LP tokens could be represented by NFTs, and those could be, let's say,
an index,
right? I don't think, and then of course you could use those for governance, and you could use those for governance probably on multiple blockchains in Cosmos because they're NFTs, right? You could, especially when the ICS 721 standard becomes a standard finally. So what are you thinking as far as future products or something that's being built right now where there's opportunity for an NFT to become this yield earning token?
Well, I mean, I think that before it can be a yield earning token, people need to figure out what they're going to drive that yield with, right? So we were lucky, not lucky, the LSD was a great model. And like sometimes vaults, if you have a really good vault, that might be able to emit good yield, like real yield, right? But you can't just, like, again, it's like you can't just make up a token and AP and just have tons of emissions. It doesn't.
Right. And you can't only, you can rely partially on emissions, I'm sure, but not totally. And by vault, white vault whale is kind of like an Ethereum term, right? Vault is basically,
like, I mean, like an ARB vault or like something that's performing a real action, right? That's actually doing something and
trading. Yeah, it could be trading.
Right. Trading, even like an ARB bot or whatever. Like that's perfectly, if it's well done, you know, look, White Whale has done a great job of this because they have ARB bots that run in the background. They have all these things that are producing actual revenue, and they have an inflation of 4% APY, which is really low, right? So it's like you can have kind of the best of both worlds. But now as a layer two, which Backbone is, right, we're not really interested in doing that. The layer ones are already giving us the inflation to work with, right? And so we want to give people those assets. That's like what I'm really interested in doing.
Yeah, and White Whale could have, you know, what are they on, four chains besides their own, something like that, maybe five. They could, and this is well within the realm of possibilities given that we're in Cosmos, they could have released a different token on every chain just for the sake of releasing a token, and they never did that. I thought that was a strong move because not every protocol needs its own token. Like you said, there's the layer one, and that should be the token that's primarily used in a lot of these protocols, which is what it is. It's the gas token for White Whale's flash loans, the DEX, and all that. do you see a situation where maybe not that they're definitely going to do it, but where a similar team could launch a collection of NFTs, use the money to build out what's already there, enhance the value proposition, then return some of it back to the NFT holders without using a fungible token?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is one of the powerful things about NFTs. You're able to generate funds without having to go beg to VCs, right? Like, you're able to pitch your idea with some cool art and you got a community to get behind you. And the next thing you know, you're building your dreams. It's pretty powerful. It's really powerful, actually. Like, community really is a force of nature. That's been the lesson. Because even in this down market, you know, we're able to like come together and actually still create, still have fun. I know other people, if I wasn't in some of these communities, I'd be pretty miserable. I'm not going to lie. Right.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And people are sticking around because the NFT communities, you know, a lot of them are their own little communities, but there's so much crossover that there's always some fun stuff to discover or be a part of, whether it's just like games, Twitter spaces, stuff like that. It's social, and they're social in nature. And you might get ideas out of that to further build out the protocol. And you would probably get a lot of participation if those NFT holders were able to vote directly on the protocol that's responsible for giving them the yield in the first place.
100%. I mean, and I got to say, like we were, you know, Enterprise DAO, DAO, these are places, you know, these are some big tools that give you, the small community, a lot of power. So we're utilizing Enterprise DAO with our revenue sharing, you know, to have TFL audited contracts, making my life so much easier. And it allowed me to like really kind of compete on a different level. We tried to price this part out and it would have been like almost $80,000 to write these contracts and get the audit all included, right? Like that would have been too big of a, like a way too big for like a little guys like us, right?
Yeah, and that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but you guys, like you said, you're a layer two, you're a protocol. You have to be super efficient, right? You don't have a team of 40 people, most likely, and you're not a layer one with these, you know, these dev funds, let's say, coming either from the emissions or from revenue from the protocol. I just wanted to mention that if anyone has questions, feel free to come up. I could give the mic to anybody. I appreciate everyone that's here. I see a lot of hardcore NFT people, but also some DeFi people and some builders in the audience. So just request and I'll give you a mic.
So right now, just for some context, there's a Gravedigger on Luna. There's a Gravedigger on Migaloo. There's a Gravedigger on Chihuahua. We actually have one on Juno that we're going to start to, you know, push forward. We haven't really had enough manpower to do that yet, but we're expanding. And we're also getting ready to go to Injective, and I believe Comdex is all in the pipeline because we're following White Whale's DEXs through the IBC, right? So that's
can I just clear up something for people that don't know?
Sure.
And I didn't realize this until we spoke last week. So you guys are an auto compounder, but a lot different than Restake in that that auto compounder generates a liquid staking derivative, which is just basically a placeholder token that is mostly accepted in, you know, versus the token you just staked.
Correct. So we actually give you a receipt of the token, and now that token does not grow in value, but it auto compounds in the background. So if you were to hold it and then come back to the Gravedigger and unstake it, you would then receive the auto compounded rewards of what you held.
Right. Yeah. No. I the liquid staking derivatives, I know that there's added risk there, but there's also added returns, opportunity for returns. I'm starting to see that in proof of stake networks. You almost need liquid staking derivatives. Otherwise, you're going to grind the transaction volume to a halt. And the whole purpose of having a blockchain is to have transaction volume. You want as many transactions as possible, really.
Well, I think even more so is that the liquid staking derivative is such a powerful DeFi tool. It allows me to secure the network and still access that purchasing power. I don't have to lose that. And there is an added risk because there's one more layer. There's a smart contract between you and the actual validator, which is the Gravedigger in this case. But at the same time, like if I want to vote and I want to just get some APY, I just go stake. But if I got some money that I'm trying to actually put into play, I go get the LSD and I begin the DeFi games. And now we have Bone Luna. We have Amp Luna, the Aeris Protocol. We have Backbone Labs. We're doing these things, and we're trying to reestablish these good collaterals so that, you know, the other L2s can come out and bring these games back. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's crazy. A lot of these L2s that were L2s last time are now L1s, so it's a little bit tricky. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no. I mean, I would rather see a high concentration of good apps on most of the chains. I get the app chain thesis overall. We're seeing it struggle now. And, you know, as far as games goes, there's opportunity.
There's only a few things that I can really think of, like why you need your own chain, right? Like other things can be feather chained or like these other smaller things that don't need to be like a real L1. You know what I mean? If you need to have it like that. But really it's like, okay, a liquidity chain is required, right? A permissionless chain required. Like you could have a couple of these nation states that are all very flourishing and successful, but you don't need one for every single, you know, function for sure. Like it's just not necessary. And it just fractures everything.
You know? Yeah, I'm torn. In the beginning, it sounds good because it's like, okay, you could organize it. Like, okay, this is the NFT chain over here. Here's the DEX over here. Here's lending. But there's a reason why Ethereum does so well, and it's because they have a bunch of protocols with people using them for different purposes, and they're fighting for block space, right? It's all the real economy on a blockchain is for block space. I'm learning, and you know the app chains, they struggle in the bear market. But I'm gonna go to a question that I got sent leading up to this, and again, if anyone wants the mic, just request it. But here I'm gonna read the question word for word. It says, I noticed some discussion related to which bone LSDs the Skeleton Punk stakers will earn rewards from. This discussion made me curious if there will be any new Skeleton Punks collections on Migaloo, on new chains like Migaloo.
So I don't have an answer for that. The Skeleton Punks, you know, have always been, since the day they were minted originally, they're dedicated to defending Luna, right? That's always been their ethos. And so, you know, we made the Luna Gravedigger because when we started this endeavor, we didn't even have cross-chains expectations. We didn't know what was going to happen. And so that was the model that occurred. So it's each Gravedigger is going to have their own collection. The Skeleton Punks are the managers and revenue shares of the Luna Gravedigger. And we are in talks with other NFT communities from like other ecosystems to come in and make collections for the other Gravediggers, so we can start to get new liquidity into the ecosystem and show off exactly how good we have it in the cosmos, right?
Right, so you're saying you will treat each Gravedigger as its own community depending on the chain that it's on.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, I mean, it makes sense, and you could do that, right? Because you could gauge, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, the community on Migaloo is going to be smaller than the community on some of the chains that have been around for way longer. So maybe instead of doing a collection of 1,000, your collection is 900 or something like that, right?
Right. Well, this, you know, Skeleton Punks is 5,064. That we had no control over that, right? It was already in existence. But you know, on these other things, I'm not making the collection. Like we're looking for NFT creators who have understanding of how to run a community, who want to make cross-chain collections, that want revenue sharing, because we have the utility for creators. We're going to have like 9 of these grave diggers, and I'm not making these collections. I don't want to manage all these communities. That would be over my head, right? And I want people who are really, really passionate about this and understand like community earning, and they want to participate with Backbone Labs. And that's the stage that we're in right now. I've been like in meetings like all week, like just interviewing different projects to see if they're a good fit.
Dude, we could make a team out of the people that are in this space right now.
For sure. I was just looking at that.
But we might have to fight over some of them, but that's all right. I'm going to take another question. It says, are yield bearing NFTs only for whales, or can small holders get value from holding certain yield NFTs? That's a good question.
Okay. So look, right now the models, we're in a bear market. So until we get like a good amount of money into these auto compounders, the rewards aren't tremendous, right? But like, let's just think about this. Okay. So, you know, at ETH last year or a year and a half ago, whatever, you know, it's like $100 Luna, right? So right now, the amount of Luna that's expressing, I have like 50 of these things staked. I think I got like 8 Luna because we've only recently started releasing it, right? So, I mean, could you imagine if I got 8 Luna? That'd be $800. Now, I'm not saying that we should have any type of like expectation like that, but we just got to get these engines going because they're real yield, right? And like, that's why, you know, I'm in talks with TFL to actually try to help in certain ways. And Migaloo's been fantastic in helping. And, you know, they've staked their Gravedigger. That already has money producing for the community that gets launched, right? Like, we're just waiting for their incentive contracts to go live. I think they're supposed to go live like this week from what I'm told. Like, I know they're like all hands on deck to get their DEX's incentive contracts and dual rewards happening. Like you can, like on Astroport, you can just go claim your rewards for providing LP. That's what they're working on right now.
No, that's really cool. Really cool. And I guess, like you said, different, the market conditions and the size of the collection and the price, they'll dictate what the yield actually is. But since they're NFTs, there are other opportunities to add value or at least perks to being a holder, whether it be, you know, you have like some type of game or some kind of, if you make another partnership, maybe the NFT holders are cut in somehow.
Well, look, so NFT Switch, you know, we validate, they're an anchor of the Gravedigger, NFT Switch and PFC. So we try to validate on the chains that the Gravedigger goes to, right? But the NFT Switch also has a P2P trading system that, you know, we gave the Skeleton Punks a privilege to, you know, to keep them safe. You get a 50% discount for making, you know, these community trades, these private deals. I don't want people to have to be forced to the open market if you're making friends in the Discord and you guys are just making, you know, your little deals. Like, that sounds fucked up. And I don't want people to scam. So NFT Switch will deploy wherever these Gravediggers go to. And so the collections will have that privilege to trade there also. They'll have that same inherent privilege on those chains, right?
Right. That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. Mayor, I always give you the mic, even though you don't request it, because you always ask good stuff. You're welcome to ask your question.
Yeah. Hey, JG. I know there's like so many different ways of, you know, some of these NFT projects are trying to generate yield. Like, for one example is like one of our old favorites. There's a NFT project on Evmos that the validator, a large validator on Evmos, you know, launched this. I think it was like a 10,000 piece NFT project, and then all the apes they took so much of the mint, and if you hold an NFT, you get validator rewards. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is like, there's been a couple projects that they'll take the proceeds from the mint, and like, let's just say it's in stars. So let's just say they end up with, 50,000 stars. They'll stake those stars, and then they'll back the NFTs, and they'll distribute the staking rewards to the NFT holders. So like, if you hold so many one NFT, you get like, you know, 5 stars a week or something like that. Is that something you guys are thinking about utilizing, or?
So for us, that's kind of like a step down in what we're doing. Right, because we're giving control of an actual DeFi platform with an auto compounded token to the community to manage and revenue share.
Okay, so walk me through how would an NFT project leader, or like, let's just take Rec Gang for example. You know, they've got a very large community. They've already got 3 different NFT projects, but let's say they're gonna launch like a V4 or a V5. How would they utilize?
Well, you know what I would suggest? I would suggest they gave me a call, and then they could manage a Gravedigger, and they could make a new collection, and they would have this new utility that everybody wants.
Yeah. But just like, what?
Here's the thing. At the end of the day, the secret, like you said, like, it can be a validator. It can be an auto compounder. It has to be something that's performing autonomous, like actions that are just happening and actually doing something. Right, that's actually earning something. It can't just be, see, now if you do it off of a mint or like lots of mints, like say you do a launch pad and you're like, oh, every time we do a mint or a launch, then we're going to revenue share. That's not the same. That's still sporadic earning, right? That's still a person having to do it. That's not as sexy as like, yo, this thing's just crunching numbers. Like, what's up? Let's get this cranking. Right?
Yeah. So let's just say you know, you said you guys are going to launch on Migaloo or just take any, let's just use Stars, sure, for example, because sure, a lot of people, so let's just say I'm starting a new project on Stars. We mint out and we've got, you know, $25 in pros, $25K. Okay.
Right.
So walk me through what are we going to do with that? Are we're going to stake that to a Stars validator and then you guys auto compound it and we give it back to the community? Like, just help walk me through the steps one more time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I wasn't thinking about it like a project staking at the Gravedigger because, okay, so look, the B token that we make, like or B Stars, we'll say B Stars, right? So if we make a Bone Star token, if you come and you're staking at the Gravedigger and you get Bone Stars, this token is, if you want to set it and forget it, this is not the best token for that. This token is like, do you want to borrow against it? Do you want to do degenerate plays with it? Like, are you trying to leverage? That's what this token's for, because what it does is it addresses the issue of illiquidity, right? Like,
it's just like Stride. It's like the Stride. It's like ST Stars, like a Stride. It's liquid staking.
Yes. That's all it is. But so instead of a Stride token holder doing the managing the voting, for us it's the Skeleton Punk NFT holders and our small community that actually is engaged in doing this and that revenue shares with us.
Got it.
You know, yeah. I've got a question actually. May or made me just think of something. And also people are always DMing me when I'm doing these spaces. Let's say you want to deploy on a chain that already has a bunch of NFT collections. You don't necessarily have to mint a new collection. Right, like Tank is here. Tank might like this.
Well, I don't have to, but you have to remember at the same time, like, we're not trying to. We need to be self-sustaining, also, right? And so, utility, right?
Well, let's say you're going to put an auto compounder on, let's say, Juno. Tank's the founder of Maneki. They have a pretty large treasury, right? Instead of minting a new collection, using the proceeds to do what you got to do, you could partner with Maneki and say, okay, you guys vote using DAO. You're going to use 50% of your treasury to help us build out and audit. And maybe if there's anything left over, provide initial liquidity for a vault, a DEX, an auto compounder, something on that Juno.
That would suffice. That would meet the same
requirement. Right. Because there are a bunch of NFT projects that do have treasuries. I think Maneki might be the biggest one that I know of, you know, for a Stargaze collection. I know actually MetaRats has like a $40,000 treasury or something like that. Like, would that be enough to get it done? Or is this like a six-figure?
No. Like, look, like, that's not like, we're not even trying to get over like that. So like, even if we did like a 3000 collection, right, we're only trying to sell these things for like 20 or 30 bucks. And then we share these things. So we're not trying to even like get over on people. We just want to keep the lights on and make sure that we can keep the party going.
But what I'm saying is, you guys could, once you demonstrate that this is viable, let's say you do it on three or four chains, every new chain that spins up could go to you guys and basically you have some kind of deal to be made because you have a track record of this. And then the previous NFT holders could be cut in on the deal. Like, let's say, I don't know, we'll use round numbers. Let's say you say, look, we have this contract here. We're going to deploy it on your chain. It's going to be $25,000. And, you know, 1% goes to each of the previous collections who funded this contract or paid the devs, or like you said, kept the lights on. As long as you're earning yield, there's always a deal to be made, and the NFT collections cut the community in on that if they're if those collections contributed to the protocol. Look,
we're open to making those type of partnerships. Like, you know, in my mind, it's always, okay, well, if Maneki is the best one and they have this track record, like, do they want to just stay in Stargaze? Because my whole model is I don't want to just give the utility away. I'm trying to go fishing with this, have these big collections. Like, say we get three or four of these successfully going, right? And now we start getting the attention of, like, you know, projects in Solana, Polygon, Ethereum, and they're like, oh shit, why don't we launch a little mini collection with Backbone? Now we got a whole new pool of people jumping into the Cosmos pool, and that's kind of the goal, right? We can't just keep selling to ourselves over and over and over and over again. Great. Like that at the end of the day is not going to solve the problem. We need new people to understand this technology, to get this user experience, to see a better way of earning. Like that's what I got in Luna last time. I earned well, right? And it was interesting. And I met good people.
Yeah, no, but I was just saying, in case you didn't want to always launch a new collection, you could see what's there already. And, you know, let's say, like I said, Maneki, I know Maneki has a treasury. I'm pretty sure GotTheDAO has a treasury. Atlas DAO might have a treasury, I think, on Stargaze or
well, like, it doesn't matter where it is. It in like a Cosmos Joe collection where half the proceeds go to fund your stuff and the other half comes to this. And then the collection is revenue sharing with the Gravedigger, right? Like, to me, that
do
means...
It. Let's do it, man. I'm going to recruit right from this chat. I got to find an artist in here. I got
to
find,
you know what I mean? Something to make more sense. Like we can, it doesn't, I think new things right now are what's neat. We need new things to come into the space. We need new stuff. Yeah.
And it needs to be, you know, not as redundant as what we've seen. Like, oh, this is the same thing on Ethereum, but we're building it here where there's no traffic. Oh, this is the same thing on Solana, but we're going to build it here where no one's even heard of the chain, right? That's been the MO of Cosmos in general. It is a little bit frustrating, I would say. What about tooling for this? Do you guys have to build your own tooling to be able to distribute rewards, keep track of rewards and all that?
We are lucky in Enterprise DAO. TFL has this whole tooling suite that's open source and we've access to everything. And this has become very easy for us. The whole revenue sharing, the distributing, all this stuff is very automated now. It's super easy.
No, I mean, that's really good to hear, man. And I really like that you guys have partnered with Migaloo. I think they've got the right idea. They've learned from past mistakes. Obviously the Terra devs are a little bit more, I would say a little bit more forward-looking, I would say, than what's in Cosmos. Cosmos, they kind of stay heads down with blinders on, it seems. And I do like Migaloo's approach where they built products first before they launch a token. Like, that's huge.
Well, remember, they had a token. They've always had a token, even before. And what they did is they kept building after the wreck, and they managed to honor the one-for-one drop to every chain. That's where it was, like, really honorable, right? Like, that's where I was like, oh, you had me at a low, you know? Like, I was like, I'm in, guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm glad that we got to connect here. What else are we missing, though? There's got to be something else.
Okay, so why don't we talk about the marketplace a little bit? You know, the Lion DAO is getting ready to mint their collection. This is going to be the first collection that Backbone Labs is minting. It's going to take place on Luna in about a week to 10 days. You know, they've done a great job with the Roar token, and I'm excited to be able to get this off the ground. This is going to be big. I think this is going to be big for us. Like, this will be another milestone checkoff.
I like how he was able to build out that DAO, get so much involvement, and I'm going to have him on in a week and a half, actually. And
yeah, he's great.
It's just going to be DAO building, right? DAO building is a skill, right? There's no protocol to build a DAO. You have to be a person that can communicate your idea, gather like-minded people that believe in it. It's very tricky to organize people in this space. And I am not an expert on what LionDAO did. I just see the result is like, wow, they've moved a lot quicker than most. And I can't wait to have him on, actually.
Yeah, no, they're definitely doing a lot of interesting stuff, and they're definitely showboating a little bit. You know, it's good. I love it, and we're excited to be a part of it. So, you know, I don't know. This is going to be another fun mint. I think they have like a 10 to 15 Luna mint range they said they were going to have, and I'm going to try to get 50 of these things when it goes down.
Yeah, he goes, hey, do you think I could entice you to come over to Luna to mint some NFTs? And I'm like, man, I saw those NFTs. They look great. I'm a sucker for pixelated NFTs for some reason. Those look really good.
Are you from the 80s, baby? Or 70s, baby? Are you from the 70s or the 80s?
I'm an 80s baby, but I still have my Atari 2600. It still works.
You know what I'm saying? I'm an 80s baby too. I love pixel art. I think that's what
it is. It brings me back to the original Nintendo type. Like, it just, it's gotten so good, especially over here. I don't see these outstanding pixelated collections elsewhere, but I don't know if anyone else has questions, feel free to come up. Mayor, it's me and you again.
Yeah, it's okay. Now, I want to hear more about the NFT marketplace. And
sure,
I know, Liondow is going to launch their NFT series. Do you have any other creators or projects lined up? I mean, how?
Yeah, so I mean, we just like literally turned this thing on, and we turned it on super rushed. We weren't planning on turning it on this early. It was because Random Earth stopped being communicative, and it just, the space was in dire need of some assistance. So we rushed this version, and at the same time, we've been building the actual version that we've been waiting to release, which will be ready shortly. Now, we do not have other collections on, like, officially on yet. We have people who have started to fill out forms, and, you know, I'm really hesitant. If someone doesn't give me like a good vibe, like they got a good intention, like I'm really not trying to mess with them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to launch a bunch of crap, you know? So if you're coming here and you want us to give you our time, like, we want to talk to you for a second. I don't need to KYC, but I want to know that you're like serious.
Well, yeah. You want to make,
Because now this is our name, right? And like, I don't want to just have crap going. That's just not fun.
Is this the only marketplace on Terra 2 now?
So there's also Talus.
Talus, that's right. Yeah. That's the other one. I couldn't remember.
Talus is pretty good, but what was the name of the other one? You cut out for a second.
Oh, Random Earth, and that's a great marketplace. Right. But they're not being responsive. Like the founders and the devs, they have other life responsibilities, and they're not servicing it right now.
What do you mean other life responsibilities besides?
I mean, they have other jobs. You know what I mean?
I know. I'm in the same boat, man.
To me, it means nothing. I'm like, you know, you got a lot of people participating here. At least make a freaking announcement.
Yeah.
So that marketplace is a launch pad also.
For which one? Oh, a Talus or Random Earth?
Random Earth is going to actually be the launch pad for Liondow NFTs.
Backbone Labs is launching the Liondow. That's us, right? So we're going to do that from our platform, which is the Necropolis.
Understood. Okay. I missed that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I guess my biggest concern is, since this is the first NFT project and it's the only one on the marketplace, like, what's the volume going to be? I mean, I know it's like,
we just turned it on, right? And we've had like 155 sales of Skeleton Punks. We've sold like 4 or 5 Galactic Punks. We've only turned it on for like a week or two.
Okay. And yeah,
we minted our own stuff from our own site. You know, I I'm telling you, I think the Liondow is just going to carry it. These guys are excited. Like, I'm excited. I'm really going to try to buy like 50 of these things.
Yeah. I haven't messed around on Talus much at all. To be honest with you, like, I've been just spending a little bit more time on Polygon, and it's like, for someone who's like in crypto or in Cosmos, it's like, once you start getting several NFTs on different chains and different marketplaces, it just kind of, you feel like you're getting spread out too thin, you know, from a collector's standpoint. And that's like,
helps with that.
Do what?
Just do your NFTs on TFM. It'll help because they're starting to include all the Cosmos chains NFTs. Mm-hmm. And so now you can just connect your wallets and look at everything in one page.
Whoop. Yeah. Didn't they just release an aggregator or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. That will make your life so much happier. You'll just click it in, pick up all your wallets or all the chains that you're connected to, and it'll display all your NFTs.
Joe, you need to do a video on this TFM aggregate NFT.
Yeah, I know. Dude, I'm so far behind on content. I was doing a video today that I promised the person I would make on January 22nd. And then I made the whole video and I realized I wasn't recording. Wallet.
Like, put them on the schedule for NFT happy hour.
I did take a look at it. I'm like, damn, what is going on here? I need to like sit and figure this out and make my video, you know, when I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's cool, man. We need an aggregator. It's ridiculous that if I have NFTs on Juno, I could only see the ones from that platform. That just should not happen. You should be able to see everything.
TFM has Luna, Juno, Stars, and Omniflix live right now.
With Juno, you couldn't even see the ones on the same chain. If one was on Loop and one was on Hopers, it's like, what is that? Now we get to see everything, and that's what a wallet is, right? You know, it's everything. You got your tens, your fives, your ones, and your pennies and nickels all in the same.
Well, JD, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is more of like they're merging them all the marketplaces to where, like, if you want to go and swap, you can, right? That's what so, TFM.
TFM will allow you to conduct a buy, but you can't conduct a sale, right? So you can buy from one place, and I could. So if there was six marketplaces on one chain, you could go to TFM and look at that chain with all the different, with that one collection on all these different marketplaces and find the best deal if you wanted to, instead of having to go to each individual site, right?
Right. But they're limited with only to buys right now. Okay.
Yes. They have not implemented like a selling interface. I don't think they will. It would be kind of, because well, that would.
You don't have the cross, you can't, the cross chain NFTs aren't, it's not turned on yet. I know that's something Cosmos is working on with.
Stargaze, the ISC or the shoot. It's it's what's the, his name?
The game of NFTs. They're,
yeah. Hey, it's so funny. That's Mr. T. That's Mr. T's team. He's like one of, he was one of our core members, like when we like staved Skeleton Punks, and then he got real busy doing the game of NFTs. It's pretty awesome. I'm really happy for him. I think that technology is going to be really interesting. Again, though, it's like this will allow NFT projects to survive even if chains don't, which is pretty interesting, you know, and with the metadata being able to be changed, like you were saying, now NFT projects and NFT communities are much more versatile.
Yeah, especially within Cosmos, because it's all IBC enabled. So it's like Joe was saying earlier, if a token can go from Osmosis to Kajira or Osmosis to Juno, that why can't an NFT? It's, I mean, I know it's a little bit different, but that's what they're working on right now. And I think it will really be really showing off what IBC was really meant to do, you know?
Right. Because IBC, from what I was told, is different from Ethereum bridges, because you're not only moving tokens like a number, you're able to move that data along with it. Right. So I don't even care if the picture makes it through to the other side. As long as the metadata makes it through, it shouldn't matter what chain you're on. And then hopefully shortly after that, a site like TFM, you know, they abstract all that IBC channeling away so that a normal person can use it and not even care that they're on multiple chains.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what's going to happen. It'll become, the user won't even know. You know, they'll just be able to move it around, go to the app that they want to go to, deposit, do here, do there. You know what I mean? It'll become pretty smooth soon. It won't take too long.
Yep, I was just talking while I was on mute, as we tend to do on these spaces. Let me see if I've got the gist of this so far. And if anyone, no one's got any other questions. I think we got through a lot tonight, actually. We talked about the Gravedigger, right? Gravedigger is an auto compounder that issues a liquid staking derivative. So if you're staking with Gravedigger, you get a replacement token, an LSD, to use in whatever protocols accept that LSD. The Skeleton Punks get paid out revenue from that auto compounder, right? It's about a third of the yield that's generated there, which is cool. That's our yield bearing NFT. And it doesn't have to be an auto compounder, right? It could be any DeFi application that's generating real yield. It could be a vault, could be a validator, could be whatever, could be flash loan bot, right? Could be anything like that. If there's an NFT collection that has stake in that protocol, NFTs can be used really nicely to pay out whatever the deal is, right? It's a percent, 1%, you know. I saw Risby was in here before. Gelato pays out 1% to their holders, right? And they have tiered NFTs, so there's different price levels, which is cool. I don't know. Did I miss anything major or get anything wrong?
No, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You know, it's not, we're not, I don't think it's anything that's a groundbreaking. All we're doing is that we feel that the NFT community is a more interesting dynamic to work with than the token community. I, you know, that's all it really comes down to. And so these products need management, and why not have more fun with it?
Yeah, no. And one thing I didn't mention earlier that I always felt was an advantage for NFTs is that with governance, it's much harder to game, because you could say, oh, I'm going to buy a bunch of these NFTs and I'm going to vote and then I'm going to dump them on the market. Because NFTs are so illiquid, you're putting a lot of skin in the game to do that compared to fungible tokens, which you could dump into a liquidity pool. you are not guaranteed to sell those NFTs if you buy them and expect to sell them right away. The turnaround, the slow turnaround, especially for collections that are not a top collection on a blockchain, you're taking massive risk to do that. And I think it's a deterrent to do anything funny with the tokens. And like I said before, for people that join late, I think of NFTs as just tokens. They're tokens that have unique identifiers on them, whether it's the picture, whether it's the metadata, whether it's the token number itself. So yeah, I think NFTs should be used alongside, or at least part of the time, in replacement of a lot of the fungible tokens, because the fungible tokens just don't hold up. They're subject to more manipulation, in my opinion. And the NFTs build communities because they're actually small businesses, they're brands. So
yeah, you know, I kind of like try to look at the skeleton punks as like Medicare, right? Like how much, what can I get for them? That's how this like started, right? So this whole thing started is that I was just trying to like make partnerships to have logos put in the collection. And from that, we were like, oh, we just made a friends with a bunch of other validators. Like we could make a auto compounder. Is that possible? And then the next thing I know, yeah, we could do that. I'm like, oh my God, we could really do that. And then fast forward like a year. And now it's, although it's going much better than I could have ever expected.
No, I mean, it's great, man. You know, building protocols that are generating any kind of yield in this market, you know, it's commendable. And the fact that you're implementing NFTs, I think it's a smart move, man. I think you could have the communities put their input into it. NFT communities tend to be passionate. I think you'll end up getting really good ideas. Look no further than Stargaze, right? Stargaze has been like a diamond in the rough in the cosmos, and it's because of the type of chain that it is. I think that's going to carry, NFT communities are going to carry the DeFi apps, you know, in times like this. So I don't know. I think these are a good place to end, and we could always catch up again. I would really appreciate it, though, if you could send me any links that you want me to share tomorrow. I'll share those out. People can check out check out the Necromancer, check out Gravedigger, check out Skeleton Punks, and any other apps you want me to share, man. Just send those links. I'll be happy to share it out.
All right. I'll shoot them over in a little bit. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me. You know, it's really nice to be able to actually just talk about these things. Sometimes, you know, I think about it so much, and when I explain, I sometimes forget to explain things, right? And
it's not only you. I try to always ask like the like noob questions, but then to do that, I don't do that much research because I like to be like looking at something with fresh eyes and get the firsthand info from someone like you. So anything we don't go over, we could definitely catch up on this again. I'm actually hoping one day you resubmit that prop to Stargaze for your NFT switch. I think it was a mistake not to try to just modify it a bit and run it back. But if you don't mind,
I'm totally going to, I'll totally put it back up. It's just that we're so our team's only six people, right? So we're trying to keep up with it, with White Whale and much bigger teams. So we're going to Stargaze with the Gravedigger, from what I understand. I think White Whale is going to put a Dex there, from what I understand. Right. So
Shane told us that by space last week. Shane said they're working with White Whale. They don't want to be spread too thin. I thought that I like that. You know, the Migaloo team is truly, you know, collaborating with these other chains. True interoperability. I like that Stargaze is delegating that out. If you would like some input on that prop, I think a couple tiny changes and you get that through no problem. Space Apes is up. I don't know if it's Harry or Kyle, but you're welcome to ask your question or just say hello.
Hey guys. Hey, Joe. I was just coming up to say hello because I've always been a massive Skelly follower. I didn't manage to get in on when they were in Terra when they first launched. I had to get in on the secondaries, but being always an admirer from a distance with their project, love the stuff that the guys put out. I guess I just wanted to chime my two cents on validators. It's if you've got the opportunity and Stargaze has the opportunity to get a validator up, and it's not very expensive at the moment to get into an active set, it's probably one of the best investments we've made as a project to have a validator that's sustainable for us and also earns a residual for our holders, where we can do multifaceted giveaways. On the 15th, we gave away 42,000 stars through our validators and stake rewards that we earn. So it's such a good way, if you don't want to dip into your own treasury, to be able to maintain a level of engagement with your project and your holders when you're not minting a project, or when you're working through a development through, like you say, a DApp or a project that you're working on, something to sustain and suffice the community while they're waiting for, like say, new updates and new product to come out. Because when you launch a project, then you're working on a utility can take, some people promise a shorter term but can take longer than expected with obstacles in the way, and it's just a good way to feed a community and keep them engaged with what you're doing. That was my two cents.
You've always got good wisdom, man. I always appreciate your input on the spaces that I'm a part of.
So, hey, real quick, Joe and JG, the skeleton punks, like if you hold one or two punks, you're earning B Luna.
So here's the deal, right? So there is like a really fine line of selling NFTs that are not considered securities, right? That's the truth. So the way that we do it is that this is a utility that is available to people that stake three or more. So if you only own one or two and you're staking, you get a vote on the platform, you're really not revenue sharing. You haven't unlocked that utility. And then there's no cap on how many you can stake above that. But that way we're not just selling single like shares of revenue sharing somethings.
Got it. And so is it a soft stake or like a hard stake?
No,
so is it
we utilize Enterprise DAO, and you actually stake on their platform. I mean their contracts are heavily audited. I mean I trust TFL's devs pretty much.
So is the punk locked then, I guess is my question.
Okay, so yeah, so when you use Enterprise DAO, you can set your parameters, and ours are, there's a cool off for only 7 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're not trying to like hold anybody's stuff ransom, you know what I mean? Like we want people to trade if they want to trade. We don't want, you know, it's not like about
Right. But to get the B Luna, you want to have some commitment, right? Like you don't want, yeah.
Of course. I mean, that's why there's the three, minimum to unlock the feature, and then a 7-day cool off. We figured that's pretty reasonable, right? It's only a week.
I'm gonna check it out, Mayor. So maybe tomorrow I'm at work, I'll be messaging you. I can't use any crypto wallets at work unless it's on my phone, and I like to be on a computer. But I'll definitely be able to check it out. I'll let you know what I find.
They got you with the child browser at work. Like you can't.
Yeah. No, you can't download anything onto the computers at work. So I can't like put my browser extensions in. So it's annoying, but it's effective.
Hey, I wonder if you could bring like a little external drive and download it on the drive, like a little operating system that you plug in.
I work in a school system. I do not trust the Wi-Fi or the security anyway. So
yeah. Don't do it.
Way better off not. Screwing around. I mean, we get our data stolen all the time. So it's that would be such a sad story.
13-year-olds just constantly hacking the network, changing their grades.
it's happened. Not with our district, but I've heard of it happening. So anyway, I don't know. I think it's a good point to wrap it up. We got through a lot. Very interesting for Cosmos people that were not really keeping an eye on Luna. A lot of good stuff did come out of Luna. A lot of it's coming to Cosmos, not just NFTs, but we've got layer ones even, right? Protocols. So this is cool, man. Earning yield should be the goal of most DeFi projects. I can't think of one where some yield is not desirable, and integrating NFTs into that, I think your angle is a good one. I think you're counting on something that's overlooked by people that don't understand NFTs. So I think you'll do well.
I appreciate it. You know, and anytime that you have any ideas and you want to, you know, collaborate, you want to make a collection, you know, we got a marketplace now. We can facilitate that, brother.
Hey, sounds good. I've been writing some people's names down that are in here. I see Jacob. I see Ambito. I got my team. I'm gonna contact you.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for having me, and everyone have a great night. Appreciate it.
Take
it
easy, everyone. Happy you guys stuck it out. I know that Twitter's been buggy lately, but I love doing these DeFi educational spaces. And I got a bunch of good ones coming up. I've got Ryan Lyon from Lyon DAO. I've got Shade Protocol coming in the next 2 weeks. Next week, I have Reese from Juno talking about Cosm Wasm. So got some good stuff coming up. Hopefully you guys can make it back. And yeah, we'll I'll see you guys on the next space.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was DeFi 101, episode 11, Earning Yield via NFTs with Backbone Labs. Hosted by the great Cosmos Joe. Recorded on Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to ImagineTheSmell.org and bump those new tracks.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web 3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Really? Worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the better end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terra Spaces.